Okay, everyone, let's get our Bibles out. That's kind of weird, huh? The title of my message today is Scorpions in Paradise. Scorpions in Paradise. I probably have to explain that a little bit to you, I'm pretty sure. We were down in Myrtle Beach, obviously, Sissy and I, and all of our kids and their spouses, and all of our grandkids, and a couple friends of Katrina and Jesse were there, and Butch and Sue were down there too. And we were sitting on the beach one day, and I think it was Thursday, I think, or Tuesday. I was sitting next to Butch and Sue, and we were talking about, man, how blessed this is. I mean, just to have the sun. How many love the beach? How many just love the beach? I mean, just sitting there, right? And the only concern that I had was, when's that lemonade person coming by? And then we have Pappy Hour. Pappy Hour is from 2 to 4 at Sonic, right? Sis and I pile all the grandkids in the truck. We take them to Happy Hour. We call it Pappy Hour. Half off on slushies. Ah, man, that's awesome. The biggest choice I had to make was, you know, what flavors to get everybody, right? And we're sitting there, and I was talking to Butch and Sue about, you know, boy, how nice it is to live at the beach. And I know they lived in Florida for many, many years. How many years in Florida? 15 years in Florida. Florida, I thought, oh man, how neat would it be just to live in Florida? How many love to live in Florida with the sunshine and all? Wouldn't it be awesome? And I was saying to Butch and Sue, I say, man, it must be really awesome to live in Florida where the sun's coming down all the time and weather's great. And they were saying, oh yeah, it's a little humid there in Florida, but you know, it's just nice in paradise. And I said, oh awesome, so what was your day like in paradise? And Butch and Sue were talking to me and they said, well, but one day, you know, in paradise, we have to clean out the pole. They had a pole. And they cleaned out the pole, and Butch got bit by a scorpion. I said, what do you mean he got bit by a scorpion? He said, oh, there's scorpions all around my pole. I said, there's scorpions all around your pole? Oh, they're little scorpions, though. They're not like really big scorpions. They're little scorpions. I said, so you would clean out your pole and be bitten by the scorpions? Yeah, I had to be careful about the scorpions. I said, oh, man, that is something else. And then Sue said, you have to watch out for the snakes, too. I said, snakes? She said, oh yeah, one day there was a coral snake on my windowsill. A coral snake on your windowsill in paradise. She said, oh yeah, there's coral snakes on my windowsill. I said, coral snakes are in your windowsill and scorpions around your pole? Oh yeah, then you had to watch out for the holes in the yard. What do you mean holes in the yard? Oh, that's where the armadillos dug holes in the yard. You have armadillos digging holes in your yard? My sister and I, we got chipmunks. You know, chipmunks in our yard. No, not down in paradise. They got armadillos. They got armadillos digging up holes in the yard. They got coral snakes on the windowsills. They got scorpions all around the pole. And I said, man, that is pretty terrible. Oh, yeah, well, then you have to have tubes in your walls. That's tubes in your walls. You have tubes in your ears. We need tubes in your walls. Well, let's keep all the bugs out. I said, you have tubes in your walls all around your house? Oh, yeah, they had to come around once a month and spray some insecticide and kill all the bugs. Wait a minute, you got bugs all around your house? You got pipes all around the wall, scorpions around your yard, armadillos digging holes in your yard, and coral snakes on your windowsills? Oh, yeah, and then you have to be careful about the alligators. Alligators? What do you mean you got that? Oh, yeah, well, we don't have alligators in our yard. Just up the street a little bit. You got alligators in your yard? Up the street a little bit? Oh yeah, they like kittens. They like kittens and stuff. Like, what? They ate the cats in the yard. So down in paradise, down in Florida, down in paradise, they got scorpions around the pole, coral snakes on the windowsills, pipes all through the walls to keep all the bugs out, armadillos digging holes in the yards, lots of alligators, and I said, is that it? Except for the hurricanes. So you gotta wonder about the hurricanes. You gotta worry about the hurricanes. And I said, oh man, what a day in paradise, huh? Let's all pack up our bags and let's all head down to paradise. Just make sure you bring the snake venom with you and the scorpion venom. A day in paradise. I was thinking about that. My sister and I was down at Myrtle Beach and I thought, wow, I guess every place has got issues, don't they? Yep. Every place you go has got issues. Even the bestest, most wonderful place you think about has got problems. How many know you got problems? Problems are everywhere. I'm sitting down at the beach on Sunday and Monday. Weather's fine. Tuesday, Wednesday, not so fine. It rained all day, right? Rained all day from the time we got to the time we went to bed. Then I started getting a scratchy throat going, what is this all about? I was sick. I had to call the doctor to get an antibiotic. They called it in on me Friday. I take an antibiotic. I said, this is crazy. The pharmacist said, no, watch out. Not going in the sun with the antibiotic. I said, no, that's cool. They call them on the beach. Can't go in the sun. I mean, how many know every place you go, it's got problems. Every place you go, it's got issues. How many's got issues in this church? Everybody's got them. You know, you can't escape it. You would think that if you're going to go to paradise, there wouldn't be any problems down there. But there is. The problem's everywhere. And the problem is, and here is the issue. Here is the big issue. When the problem surfaces, does that mean you're no longer in paradise? Or you're no longer in paradise because you've got problems? That's the thing you have to ask yourself. No matter where I go, you know, they got scorpions and coral snakes sunbathing on the windowsill, but they're still in Florida. They're still in Florida. And they got done with that conversation with me, and I said, well, what period up here in Pittsburgh? We got snow. We got snow, church, but we ain't got no armadillos in the yard. We ain't got no coral snakes on my window, so I ain't got no scorpions going around anything. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
And so we all got stuff. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. The Psalm 137, verses 2 to 4.
There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land?
Let's get this picture in our minds, okay? We have a picture of this in our minds. We have this group of people, and they are wonderfully gifted musicians. In this particular case, they play the harp. And they also are vocalists, and they sing. And they are forced to go to a place that they don't want to be. Anybody in this room ever been forced to go someplace you don't want to be? I mean, no matter what it is, guys, it could be a job. It could be a neighborhood. It could be a hospital room. It could be some place that you don't want to be. How many's ever been a place you just don't want to be? You say, I just don't want to be here, right? I don't want to be here. And so this group of people we're talking about this morning are exiled to a foreign land. They're taken to a place they don't want to be. And when they get there, their captors said, hey, we know who you are. We know you're wonderfully gifted musicians. We know that you can sing. Hey, how about playing a little bit for us? Sing a song for us. And we don't want you to sing a country western song. We want you to sing a song to God. We heard about you. Sing us a song to God. We want you to sing a song to Zion. And what do they say? How can we sing a song to the Lord in a foreign place? So what do they do with their harp? They climbed up in poplar trees. They took their harps and they hung them in the branches. And I did some research on that. They were so destitute about where they are. They climbed up the trees, hung them in the trees, and on the way back down, guess what they did with each of the branches? They cut them off. On the way down. I want you to get this vision, right? They climb up, they hang them in the trees, and on the way down, they start taking the branches and what? Lock them off. So by the time they get back to the ground, what is the problem now? They can't go back up and get them. And so their situation in their heart is hopeless. Not only do we not want to play today in this place that we are sent to, but we don't want to play when?
Ever.
Ever. Because we find ourselves in a situation. We find ourselves in such a condition that all of our joy is what?
Gone.
How many's ever been in a place like that? Where you can't even sing a song to your God because you find your situation is to be what? Hopeless. And you know what? That's true in the church today too. There are people in the churches who refuse to sing a song of praise to the Lord because their situation appears to be what? Hopeless. And there is no hopeless situations, church. There are only hopeless people. No situation is hopeless. Just people are hopeless. And this particular group of people said, we're not going to sing another note. We're not going to play another stitch until we go back to where we once come. Unfortunately, that's true not only for those folks, but it also could be true for you. Oh, I'll sing my songs to Zion in my church. I'll show up on a Sunday morning, I'll sing my praises, but not in that cubicle next to you know who. I ain't singing no praises next to her. I'll sing my praises on Saturday on my day off. But I ain't singing my praises at 4:30 in a Squirrel Hill tunnel. Every situation that affects our lives changes our attitudes. How many have an attitude that changes from time to time and from hour to hour? Maybe from minute to minute. I want to let you know right now, the person who makes you upset owns you. How many understand that? The person who makes you upset owns you. They own you. Let's turn to our Bible to Philippians chapter 2, verse 15.
So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky.
People that we're talking about here are saying, how can we sing? We're too sad. How can we sing? We're too angry. How can we sing? We're so hopeless. How can we possibly sing, Pastor? You don't understand my circumstances. You just don't understand. Oh, it's easy for you and Sissy to sing. You're not in my situation. Well, that's probably very true. We're probably not in your situation, but guess what? We're in our situation. How many are in a situation of some kind? And if you start measuring your situation to the length and breadth of the Lord, you won't sing your songs to Zion. You won't sing any songs at all, because all you're concentrating on is your problems. That's all you concentrate on is your issues, your situation. There are scorpions in your paradise. But guess who else is in your paradise? The Lord God, too. Yeah. The people sung out to the Lord, said, come on, play your songs to Zion. We want to hear your songs of praise. Church, they didn't want to hear the boot scooting boogie. They wanted to hear a song of praise. What an unbelievable opportunity those people had to sing their praise to God in their circumstances and show the persons who made them captive, we'll show you how to sing and praise them anyhow. But in fact, what lesson did they give them? There was a woman that I prayed for about 2 months ago. She since went home with the Lord. And she was at Family Hospice in Lawrenceville. And I told some of you this story once before. I walked into her room and she said to me, Pastor Tom, I'm so glad you're here. We'll just call her name Mary. Hey Mary, how are you doing today? She said, oh, I'm not doing very good, Pastor Tom. You know I'm dying. I said, well, I have heard that. Yes, I do know that. One thing in hospice work, you don't give somebody false hope. Jimmy, no false hope. You accept this responsibility. You know, I'm dying. Yeah, I do know that, Mary. I do know that. Well, Pastor Tom, listen, I don't want you to pray for me today for a healing. I said, okay. She said, but I want you to pray, Pastor Tom, but I don't want you to pray for healing today. But I do want you to pray for me. I said, okay, Mary, what do you want to pray for? And she said, Pastor Tom, what I want you to pray for is that I have the strength in these feeble arms to raise him in praise until he calls me home. Now that is a woman of great praise. Help me understand that. Pastor, just pray I have the strength to raise these feeble arms until I take me home. And we had a Holy Ghost party in her room. And we had a Holy Ghost party, and they were bringing other patients in wheelchairs and in a bed in her room. We had a Holy Ghost party in hospice. In hospice. In her paradise. In her paradise. Could you do that? Could you do that? Or would you say, I'm only going to play my harps and sing my songs when I get better. I'm only going to play my harps and sing my praises when I get a new job. I'm only going to play my harp and sing my praises when I get the new house. Is that what you're saying? What is a lesson you're teaching? That praise is conditional. I can praise Him when conditions are what? Right. Well, church, you know what? The truth of the matter is, everybody can sing praises when there's food in the fridge. Everybody can praise Him when you're feeling good. How many are great praisers when everything is good? When you walk out of the house, oh, praise your name, Jesus. You are so awesome. You know what commercial I love right now? The commercial I love? Why do I have to feel so good? You guys know that commercial? Oh, you haven't heard that? Why? I can't stand that I get so much rest. Why can't I be like everybody else? Every day I get up, I have so much energy. I want to be miserable. Maybe some of us have been feeling so good so long, we forget what it's like not to feel good some days. How many have scorpions in your paradise? Anybody got some scorpions in your paradise? Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Daniel 1, verse 8.
But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way.
Nebuchadnezzar has seized the wisest and the strongest and the bravest folks from some of the folks in his town. And he's going to give them some different names. He's going to change some names. We got Daniel, we got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're going to give them the best food and the best wine. And they're going to freshen them up a little bit. Daniel says to the keeper of the house, he says to him, if it be okay with you, I don't want to defile myself by eating your food and drinking your wine. I don't want to defile myself. I want to keep myself holy. No matter the circumstances I find myself in, I want to keep myself what? Holy. Regardless of my circumstances, I will keep myself holy. And Daniel was showing that to Nebuchadnezzar and the others. I don't want your stuff. I don't care about my circumstances. I'm going to keep myself what? Holy. How many want to keep themselves holy? You want to keep yourself holy? What a powerful witness and a powerful testimony that is, right? I told you this once before, and it's worth me telling it to you again. I want you to pay attention to this. There are people who have conversations, and they love to use their four-letter words. And if I come there, and I'm standing there, and they don't see me, and they're having their conversation with their four-letter words, kind of know what I'm talking about here? It's just rolling off, right? It's just the way they talk. And I'm standing there, and they don't see me, they go, I'm so sorry, Pastor. I'm so sorry. Well, the first thing I say is, what are you apologizing to me for? You apologize to him, not me. Right? But I'm telling you this. There are rooms that I go into, the conversations are ensuing, right? And I walk in, they go, so, what about that Pirate game last night? And here's my point. My point is this. If they were having those kind of conversations and they turned around and saw you, would they apologize to you? Or would they welcome you into the conversation? That's my question. You don't have to even answer it. Don't even answer it. But would they feel comfortable having that dialogue around you? If the answer is yes, then maybe you haven't been keeping yourself what? Holy. Daniel said, regardless of my circumstances, I do not want to become defiled by my circumstances. I do not want to become defiled by my conditions. Do you clearly understand that in everybody's paradise you find scorpions? Do you clearly understand that what you say you are and in who you believe? Do you understand that if you're around a group of people and your circumstances go down the tubes and you start going off like everybody else goes off? Let me give you a circumstance. Let me give you some situation to think about. Let's just suppose that you're working at a company and you just got a pay cut. Everybody in the company got a pay cut. I'm just going to give a number, 10%. The company is downsizing, they're in a little financial struggle, and they pull the meeting in, and everybody's sitting there, and the manager comes out and says, hey, listen, I got some news for you today. We are going to have to decrease your pay by 10% across the board. In addition to that, we're going to have to decrease your health benefits. Now you know and I know that there's going to be some conversations going on in that room. How many know there's going to be some conversations going on in that room? There's going to be some conversations going on. So the question is, what conversation are you joining? Are you going to be in the conversation, everybody, I am so out of here. They didn't pay me enough when they did pay me 10% more. Don't they know who I am? Don't they know what I'm worth? Would you be that person that's complaining? Or would you be that person that climbed up in the poplar trees and hung your harps? Would you be that person? Or would you say, hey, praise God, I still got a job?
Amen to that.
When you know which one you are, you know in your heart which one you are. Would you get a group of people together and say, you know what we're going to do here? We're not going to complain. We're not going to whine. Let's get together. Let's work extra hard. Let's turn this company around. We can do it. Let's increase productivity. Let's work really, really hard. Let's stay over a couple of extra hours. Let's get this company back on their feet so we'll get our 10% back. One or the other defines who you are. How many agree with that? You may be the one that says, who threw the scorpion in my paradise? Get my praise and hang them up in the trees. I ain't praising God in this stupid place anymore. I hope they shut the whole thing down. Unemployment is better than this anyhow. Huh? Which one are you? Which one are you? You have to decide. Let's turn to Colossians 3:2.
Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things.
Too many people are focusing on everything down here. Everything down here. How many of you know this is not a really nice place to live some days? Okay. Well, come on, let's be honest. Does anybody want to live in Coriolis for the rest of eternity? I mean, Jeff, you want to live in Ross Township for the rest of forever? We have a nice house around that bend. That's pretty cool. But I mean, for the rest of forever? Who wants to be in a better place than this? I want to be in a better place than this. And do you sometimes understand, church, that sometimes that's why there's scorpions in your paradise, because the Lord wants to remind you, hey, don't get too comfortable here. There's a far better place than this one waiting for you. There was once an older woman, she was talking to the funeral director, prearranging the funeral. And said to the funeral director, hey, this is the dress I want laid out, Ellen. Okay, we'll take care of that. And the woman said, and this is the songs I want sung at my funeral. Okay, we can take care of that. And this is the passage of scripture I want read. Okay, we'll take care. Oh, there's one more thing. I want to make sure that you put a fork in my hand when I'm laid out. And the funeral director said, well, now wait a second now, Mabel. I've heard about strange things, but I can assure you this is the strangest thing I've ever heard. You want the blue dress? Yes, that's right. And you want Amazing Grace and Old Rugged Cross and How Great Thou Art? That's right. And you want the 23rd Psalm? That's right. And you want me to put a fork in your hand? You got it. Oh, don't forget the fork. The fork's the most important part. And he said, okay, listen, I don't understand, Mabel. Why the fork? Why the fork? Oh, well, that's simple. You see, when I was a little girl, we always go to church every Sunday. And after church, we would go to Grandma's house. And Grandma, she made the best meal. Oh, we spent all day long eating. And then, but her apple pie. Oh, but that apple pie was the best ever. And she'd be clearing all the table and all the place. And she said, honey, now honey, hey, hang on to your fork, because the best is yet to come. Hang on to your fork, because the best is what? Yet to come. And so when people see me with that fork in my hand, they say, what's she got that fork in her hand? And you're going to tell, Mabel wanted me to let you know what the best is yet to come. How many know the best is yet to come? And that's why you have scorpions in your paradise. And we got to make sure that we don't set our mind on here. We set our mind on there. When you woke up this morning, maybe your mind was focused on here. You might have said, oh man, it's getting cold outside. I knew somebody did. Somebody probably in this room probably thought like this. Well, you know, August is soon coming to an end. Summer's screwed on through. Everybody know what happened after summer, right? Winter's coming. That winter's coming. And that's the way minds work. And we got to get our minds off of these things and onto those things. Let's turn to the Bibles. John 11:21.
Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
That's the story of Lazarus. And Jesus was coming onto the scene. And Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Where's she living? She's living in the past. She is reminiscing about the past. No, Jesus, if you'd have been here, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. How many of you live in the past? If I only had made that decision, if I only had made that choice, if only I had made a better choice, if only I had made different, if I would have hung around with different people, if I'd have married somebody else, if I'd have went to school, if I'd have had a different job. How many ever live like that? Anybody worry about those kind of things? Oh my goodness gracious. You know what? I'll tell you something. Somebody once said, and Sissy reminded me one time, I forget who it was, said it, yeah, I still don't know. I may not yet be where I want to be, but I'm thanking God I'm not stuck where I was. How many are saying that? I may not yet be where I want to be, but I'm thanking God I'm not stuck where I was. And so listen, Martha is living in the past. Jesus, if you'd have been here, if you'd have been here, Jesus, every one of us has a past. If only I would have not done that. How many's ever done one stupid thing in your life? Whoa. Wait, dare I even ask? How many's done at least two stupid things in your life? Oh, my.
I've done more.
You've done more than that?
A whole book.
How many could sit down with a young person and say, now, let me tell you about things not to do. How many could sit down and go, no, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, right?
I'm a liar.
Right, well, so Martha says, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. She's living in the past. Now let's look at the next passage of Scripture. John 11:24.
Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
Okay, now where's she living now? In the future. Right? Oh, Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would not. But I know on the last day, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay in the last day because he'll rise again. So she was living in the past, and now where's she living? Well, what about now? What happened to the now? What about the here and the now? Do you understand that you are stuck right in the here and right in the now? Do you know that? So many people say, well, Pastor Tom, you know, I've been through so many things in my life that helped me to find who I am. There's scorpions in my paradise. Life is so messed up. All those choices that I've made in the past, oh, I am so stuck. But I know that Jesus is going to come. I hope he comes today and take me out of this mess. I know some of you said that. How many of you said that at least one time? I hope he comes today. Oh, Lord, come get me today. Come, Lord, just... I tell people, I want him to come so I beat that truck payment. 1 month. Just 1 month. But people say, oh Lord, this world is so messed up. Come Lord quickly. Come Lord quickly. How many said that at least one time in your life? So you're living for the what? Future. Your world is so messed up in your mind. Your world is so messed up in your mind. You want Jesus to come and rescue you from all of this stupidness. True?
Yeah.
Take me, Lord, from all this pain. Really? If that's the way you're thinking, then you hung your harps in the poplar trees. You took your songs of praise and you hung them in the trees. The next time I'll sing my praises, Lord, is when you come and take me away from this stupidness. When you take me from my pain, you take me from my trials, you take me from my tribulation, you take me from my storms, you take me from my obstacles. Oh, Lord Jesus, when you take me from all this stuff, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you from the highest heavens. And that is wrong. You should be praising him when? Now. You praise him now. When Joshua would fight the battles, there's a remarkable thing about Joshua. And David, too, they would have a party. They have a party the day before the battle. Did you know that? They have a little celebration thing going on. Do you know what they were celebrating? Do you know?
Victory.
The victory. Before they fought the fight. They were sitting, praise Him, Lord. We're thanking You in advance for what we know that You are going to do. And that's what we need to do. Praise Him for what He's going to do. Now let me help you out a little bit, church. How many of you raise kids? How many raise some kids? Awesome. How many in the process of raising some kids? Okay, cool. Now, how many of you, at least one time in your life, had two pieces of paper in front of you, one on the left and one on the right, and you're looking at them, and you're going, rent, gas bill. Which one am I going to pay? How many's ever been in that situation before? I hear you. Gas bill or rent? And then you're looking at these two pieces of paper and your kid comes and says, hey, can I go to the school picnic? How many have ever been there? And then you're going, gas bill, rent, Christmas. How many have been there? And how many stayed up at night worrying about how you're going to do this? And you say, I don't know how I'm going to pull this off. How am I ever going to be able to pay the gas bill and the rent? And then the car breaks down. The furnace is going under blink. How many have ever had that situation? How many got through it?
Yep.
How many raised your kids up?
Yeah.
How many know by the grace of God you did it?
Yeah.
And I got to let you know something, church. God ain't going to stop now. That which He has started in your life, He is going to finish in your life. We do not have a part-time, halfway God. We got an all-the-way, full-time God, and we need to praise Him for that. How many know we have a full-time God? There's only half-time Christians. There's only part-time Christians. And that's the problem. Atheists do not give Christians a bad name. We do. How many know that's true? We do. When the only Christian song we know on some days goes like this, nobody knows the trouble I've been. If that's the only Christian song you know some days, you should be praising Him in the storms. You should be praising Him in the sunshine. You should be praising Him in your sick times, in your good times, in your well times, in your financial times, in your poor times. You should be praising Him. How many say amen to that? And that's where the problem lies. That's where the problem lies. The part-time praisers. Part-time praisers. If you count your blessings in greenbacks, you are going to be poor. Do you know what the stock market just did?
Correction.
How many have a 401k now to a 201k? 201k, right? I want to show you how rich you are in this world. How many women in this place? How many women in this place have a card in a dresser drawer with the word love on it? Who has a card in a dresser drawer with the word love on it? You want to sell it to me? Nothing to sell it to me. How many people have something held on a refrigerator door with a magnet? Anybody have something on the refrigerator door with a magnet? All right, how many of you that was given to you from a child? You want to give it to me? Anybody want to sell it to me? How many have a shoebox full of pictures somewhere? Want to give them to me? No? Okay, let me give a little test, a little theory here. Okay? A little theory. Let's just suppose, God forbid, that you got a knock on the door from the fireman and he says to you, hey, you got to get out. The house is on fire. You got to get out. But my stuff, but my stuff. The fireman said, we don't have time for your stuff. You got to get out. He said, no, I got to get my stuff. The fireman says, well, look, you got 1 minute. You got only one thing. I don't have room for all the stuff. One thing. You got one thing. You take one thing. That's all you get. One thing. And you're looking, and on the wall is your 60-inch plasma, curved, brand new, unbelievable, right there, TV. And underneath it, is your shoebox full of pictures. Your shoebox full of pictures. All of those who are going to take the TV, raise your hand. Who's taking the pictures? Don't you tell me you're not. Don't you tell me you're not worthy. Don't you tell me that you don't have. Don't you tell me you don't have blessings. Don't you tell me you don't have something to be, you know, thanking God for. Don't you tell me, because you do. How many are blessed in this room? You turn to somebody and say, "I am so blessed." There you are. There you are. Let's turn to Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16.
"Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation."
He clings to me. Because he clings to me. We were driving home from Myrtle Beach yesterday, and I looked in the back of our car in the second row seats, and there was Selena. She's 9, Sissy?
8.
And she was sleeping, and she was clinging onto her mom. Sound asleep, clinging onto her mom. Tell me, she doesn't think she was blessed. And the Lord God, He clings to us. He rescues us. He is our ever-present help in what? Times of trouble. Times of trouble. We are so blessed. I want to show you something. Sissy, come here a second, Sissy. I want to demonstrate something for you, okay? Here, Sissy, sit next to me. So we're sitting at the beach, right? We're sitting at the beach, and it starts to rain. And I just got done talking to Butch and Sue about paradise. And I was thinking about paradise, and I went, scorpions and coral snakes on the window sills and alligators up the street, armadillos digging holes. You ever see an armadillo? Anybody see an armadillo? Let me. Sissy freaks out when the chipmunks running out of our downspout.
No, I don't. I just don't think they should be in there.
Right.
They don't scare me. I'm not afraid of them.
Can you imagine an armadillo climbing down your downspout? And I thought about that, and I said to myself, wow, scorpions around the pool. You got bit, right? Got bit. Scorpions around the pool and coral snake, right? Coral snake sunbathing on your windowsill. Armadillos and creepy crawler bugs and alligators up the street that like cats and hurricanes and humidity. And I thought to myself, man, what a paradise that is. Then I thought, well, if I got her beside me, no matter where I am, and I got him in my heart, I'm in paradise no matter where I am. How many are thankful for that? Turn to somebody and say, no matter where I am, I'm in paradise. And so, the harp players in our story climbed up and they hung their harps in the poplar trees. And a false prophet came along the scene and said to the harp players, "Hey, why don't you get those harps in play, because you're going back home tomorrow. I got a word from the Lord." Anybody ever tell you that they had a word from the Lord?
Yeah.
"I have a word from the Lord. He told me to tell you." Well, he knows my number. Tell him to call me. "I have a word from the Lord that you're going to be going home tomorrow. So why don't you get those harps out of those trees and play for us today?" And the angel of the Lord appeared to the people and said to them this: "Don't listen to the false prophet. You're not going home tomorrow. Things will not be better tomorrow. They will not be miraculously better tomorrow." The Lord God says, I know that, because I, the Lord, sent you there. You're not going back home tomorrow. Your job will not be different tomorrow. You will not be feeling that much better tomorrow. No, the person in the cubicle next to you will not become Saint Mary tomorrow. But what I want you to do today, the Lord God says, is I want you to take your harps out of those trees, and I want you to sing your praises, and I want you to plant your gardens, and I want you to eat from them, and I want you to give your children and your children's children in marriage. And we get from that whole scenario, bloom where you're what?
Planted.
And the Lord God says, because no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances, no what consequences, no matter any of those things, I am with you there. And I'm not going anywhere. Now listen to me in closing this message to you. Everybody can sing their praises when everything is fine. And that doesn't show anything. You're just like everybody else. But when you can sing your praises in the storms, when you can sing your praises in the valleys, when you can sing your praises climbing over your obstacles, that's what makes you special. That is what the world doesn't have, and that's what the world needs. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many's got scorpions in your paradise? Well, just get some anti-venom then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the hearing of these words today. We thank you, Father God, that we know no matter where we are, there you are too. And Lord, in this life, we are going to have situations. In this life, we are going to have problems. You clearly said that in your word. In this world, we will have problems. But be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world, says the Lord. And we need to be of good cheer too. The bigger our problems, the bigger our God. And we are so grateful and we are so thankful. And all of God's children said, amen.